The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back. As liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stapmiller, with you on this Monday, last day of August, folks, 2020. And Steve Elkins in Florida. How you doing, Steve?
I've had better days. I had a little reoccurrence. It looks like the kidney stone thing.
Oh.
Started yesterday, a little bit today, so I'm kind of sweating it out here.
I'm praying,
and I'm drinking lots of water and praying that we never get back to the same situation. So we'll see what happens here.
Yeah, I got a little empathy thing going on there. I'm still kind of screwed up myself. any rate, gosh, what should we talk about today? COVID-19, Antifa, Black Lives Matter. Gosh,
I'm creepy Joe.
Joe finally figured out he has to get out of the basement. You know, he once said that he wasn't coming out of the basement until election time. And then when he did crawl out of the basement, and then the cacophony of the, biting their tongue, supporting Joe Biden, there shouldn't be any debates. Joe Biden shouldn't lower himself to vote for Donald Trump. Steve, I was thinking right before the broadcast, and I've been talking to several people over the last several days, and it's pretty much a foregone conclusion. And this is my take. Donald Trump was the right guy at the right time. During normal presidential, trying to look stately, I get it. But as crazy as this country has gotten, you needed a guy like Donald Trump that called out the media for being a bunch of liars, which they are, communist purveyors of any crap that you would ever imagine or think of. Donald Trump is that he's got a short temper. He doesn't take his finger off the Twitter button, that's for sure. But we know exactly what this guy is thinking. Now, all things being equal, would I have voted for Donald Trump? No. If there were another Republican out there that made more sense than Donald Trump. But sometimes when the inmates take over the asylum, sometimes you got to help the situation along, and sometimes it takes somebody just a little bit off center to, I'm not relaying my thoughts very well, but I think you're getting the idea that, Trump was the, they're getting ready to make the same mistake again. I posted a video of all the stuff that Donald Trump, he's not going to win, and he's this, and he's that, and he's the other. Well, they were all stupefied, but what they don't realize is it's about to happen again to the Democrats.
Yeah, it is.
And Sleepy Joe, Creepy Joe, gosh. If I had as many hits off of the creepy videos of Joe Biden and the stuff that he's done, if I could monetize that, I'd be a millionaire right now.
Yeah. Even with the teleprompter, he has a hard time still elaborating with the teleprompter. I saw him today. He was in Pittsburgh doing what would you call that? A town hall meeting at a very empty, burned out factory or whatever it was, a foundry. Very few people were there. He had a hard time reading the teleprompter. he's not all there. He's not all there. And it's strange that, well, it's quite obvious why they want to keep him in the basement. Every time he comes out, he kind of shoots himself in the foot here. And, you know, he's gone PC now, because for 94 days, he sat on his rear end and said nothing about the rioting going on, the looting, the burning down the cities, nothing at all for 94 days in Portland. And now, for some reason, he's saying, well, this is wrong. You shouldn't be doing this. And he details it that this is looting and, you know, all these other things. This is unacceptable. This is illegal behavior. This is criminal behavior. But for 94 days, he said nothing, because he was in agreement with the anarchists. He was actually going to try to use that and capitalize off that tragedy in those cities there to make Donald Trump look bad, because this is all your fault. And they're still on that rhetoric of, this is all happening because it's Donald Trump's fault. Racism is systemic. And I get tired of hearing racism is systemic. We heard that from Obama, Mike Obama there, Big Mike, at the DNC. And it was interesting, because at the RNC, we heard a couple black gentlemen step up to the mic there and say this is a myth. It's not there. There is no systemic racism in America, because look at me, I'm a successful black man. And so this whole rhetoric of systemic racism, it is not a reality. It's not reality at all. And thank God somebody actually, a black man actually said that. But that doesn't stop them from keep saying it over and over again until you believe it yourself. But you don't see it, John. Do you see systemic racism in America? Do you see it out there in Austin, Texas?
Look,
do you see it?
I'm going to tell you something here. Here in Round Rock, Texas, for the last 6 months, I have noticed no change whatsoever.
Right.
People that I've seen before, people that I've opened doors for, people that I... you got something going on in your background there, guy. Okay, there it goes. I've been even running into people, black people, that I'd spoken to a year or two before, and they remembered talking with me and reminding me that we had met and what location we met, and we're having civil conversation as to what's going on. It's, and again, let me say this. This is perception that's being put out by the media. And we're media also. And I'm hearing comments made on various other programs on this network that this extremism, the left and the right. Comments about Rittenhouse. Now, I don't know if anybody has spent the time doing the full background on this Rittenhouse character. But he didn't go up there to shoot people. He went up there to lend a hand protecting property. And when he was first up there, he was out there scrubbing graffiti off of buildings. It turns out that, this madman with an assault weapon, well, there were other weapons and people were there with the intent to kill. There were shots fired before Rittenhouse shot. I mean, look, these people making these comments... These riots, so-called demonstrations, aren't happening on their street. They're not happening in front of their business. And I don't know about you, Steve, but if I had people that were intent on burning a swath, the old scorched earth policy, we're out here demonstrating, and oh, by the way, we're not going to leave anything standing in our wake. If these people were walking down your street, would you have gotten out of the area? Would you have left your business that you put everything into? Would you have walked away?
No.
You know, I mean, we are in extreme times. But I'm telling you, the way this has come about, and the way the unorganized militias out there, oh, there's that dirty word, militias. Oh, it's the extreme right. They're running around with guns. Well, let me tell you something here. If the people in the various cities weren't allowing absolute mayhem and just absolute idiocy, murdering on the street, shooting, burning, looting, whatever, if these people were keeping their house in order in the streets, I don't give a damn how long Black Lives Matter. I don't care if they were protesting for the next week or the next month. I wouldn't care. You got a point to make, make your point. Make your point until you're tired of making the point. But all of this is accomplishing nothing. It is accomplishing nothing. Now it's being divisively used as a tool by creepy Sleepy Joe oh, you know, all this stuff is Donald Trump's fault because he's a racist and he's dividing America. I'm just sick of the rhetoric. And I'm looking to November right now. These people, I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know what they're going to do when Donald Trump gets a second election on this deal, because I don't see any way for Democrats to sway anybody's opinion. They are what they are. We've had enough of the AOCs. We've had enough of the Democrat dreams to begin with. Taxation, 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 taxation. All this money that's going to everywhere is all being borrowed, Steve. It's all bearing interest. That is going to eventually have to be attempted to be paid back.
Yeah.
But that's not going to be possible. You're not going to retire this debt. There's no way. Unless we become super America with five times the GDP that we've ever had in our best years. So I'm getting a little tired of the rhetoric, and people are getting tired, and I think they're just getting sloppy and just throwing up their hands going, well, I'm tired of hearing all about it. I don't care what quarter it comes from. Well, you'd better care, because this communist takeover of America, and I can say it no other way, indications are that that's exactly what is going on. What am I supposed to do? Just go home, take a vacation, come back to my country, see if it's still standing? I don't know. A lot of people that are offering opinions up, they don't really sound to me like they've got anything in the game except their opinion.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, there's clearly a double standard we can see here. And even the Democrats, I think there's been a lot of Democrats that have defected the party itself. Anybody decent that has a conscience and some kind of standards in their life have left this party and either gone over to the Republican side or gone over to an independent side. But when I watch these talking heads on TV that are trying to defend Joe Biden and attack Donald Trump, that he's responsible for all this. He didn't start the fires. He did not do the looting, but they've actually, you know, said he's responsible. He causes. This is Donald Trump's America. He created this. No, no, no. You cannot take responsibility for other people's actions, but they want him to accept that responsibility. It's his fault this is all happening. And just over the weekend, John, you must have seen the news how many shootings there were in Chicago. Did Obama ever get, did anybody ever say anything about Obama on his clock, all the violence in Chicago? And that's his own turf. Did anybody ever say anything derogatory, negative about Obama? And it's your fault. It's your fault. There's crime in the streets in Chicago.
Only no. If we could turn back the clock and have conservative news broadcasts of, say, 40 years ago, you might have gotten some pushback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was like 50 shots fired, 42 hit, 10 dead over the weekend in Chicago.
Wow.
And that's Donald Trump's fault. That's his fault.
I guess black lives do matter. Only the ones that survived the shootings, their lives matter. You know, even the chief of police of Chicago is coming out now and saying, you know what, enough is enough.
Yeah.
And they should be saying this. I mean, all the skullduggery. I mean, a couple of years ago, I was making comments, and some Chicagoans took offense to it, that I've made comments like, well, when you go to leave your house, how many bodies do you have to step over to get to your car? And that was kind of a tongue-in-cheek, but to illustrate violence and murder is high in Chicago. You know, I'm not too far off the mark here. If black lives matter, show me that your life matters. Show me. I'd be willing to listen. But I'm not listening, because this isn't about black lives matter. This is about a takeover and a deconstruction of our form of government. Am I happy with the form of government that we have? Hell no, I'm not. But you see me looting and burning, killing people, shooting cops? No.
No.
I'm beyond the pale with this one. I am just sitting here in awe and then watching people's response. You and I talked a little bit earlier about the psychological effect. And
Is
it ever?
It's huge. It is huge, the psychological effect, the control. And I talked about this a little bit on Sunday, that, you know, we're personable. Most people, unless you're antisocial, you're personable. We shake hands. We hug. We kiss. That's what we do. We're human. That's the emotional side. That's what we have inside the heart, the love inside of us. And here you're told 6 feet social distancing, you can't shake hands, you can't hug, you must wear a mask. The control over this psychological operation, this control over people, and people not questioning. Now, you mentioned you went to Costco the other day, and you said there were probably 200 people in there, and majority of them, 99.9%, had a mask on. You were the only one who didn't.
Yep.
And I see the same thing, too. People that do not question. I said, what luck for the rulers that men do not think. You know who said that? That famous quote, John.
No.
Adolf Hitler.
Thank you.
What luck for the rulers that men do not think. We got. I did 2 weeks ago. I talked about common sense, logic, and critical thinking skills. America is so consumed with trivial matters that they may question things that are trivial, but they don't question things that affect their life. This thing has turned everything upside down. This has ruined lives. People have committed suicide because of this.
Yeah. Oh, it.
And for some reason, they're still wearing the mask. And over the weekend, the article I told you about, we talked about, shock report. This week, CDC quietly updated COVID-19 numbers. Only 9,200 Americans died from COVID-19 alone. The rest of them were padded. And did anybody carry this story today?
Fox News for about a minute or two. But at least they put it out. And for those that have not heard this, for the benefit of those that are not online, that threw your television out in the trash 10 years ago, here's an update. So let's get this straight. Based on the headlines that you just read, based on recommendations of doctors Fauci and Birx, the U.S. shut down the entire economy based on 9,000 American deaths due entirely to the China coronavirus. Right. We were first to report the director general of the World Health Organization on March 3rd of this year, set off the panic, with a highly flawed statement. They said, while many people globally have built up immunity to seasonal flu strains, COVID-19 is a new virus to which no one has immunity. That means more people are susceptible to infection and some will suffer severe disease. Globally, about 3.4% of reported COVID-19 cases have died. By comparison, seasonal flu generally kills far fewer than 1% of those infected. Now, let's get to the meat of this. The Gateway Pundit reported that the coronavirus fatality rate reported by the liberal mainstream media was completely inaccurate, and the actual rate more typical to a seasonal flu. The media was again lying to us. Doctors Fauci and Birx next published ridiculous and highly exaggerated mortality rates related to the coronavirus. Dr. Tony Fauci and Dr. Deborah Birx used the imperial model to persuade President Trump to lock down the entire U.S. economy. The fraudulent model predicted 2.2 million American deaths from the coronavirus pandemic. The authors of the Imperial College model shared their findings with the White House Coronavirus Task Force. I'm trying to go too quickly on this. Let me slow down. Early in March, Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx then met with President Trump privately and urged him to shut down the U.S. economy and to destroy the record Trump economy based on this model. But the Imperial College model Fauci and Birx pushed was garbage, and they recommended the destruction of the U.S. economy using this completely flawed model. This week, let's get to the meat of it. This week, the Centers for Disease Control quietly updated the COVID number to admit that only, and let me emphasize this, only 6% of all the 153,504 deaths recorded actually died from COVID. That's 9,200 deaths. The other 94% had two or three other serious illnesses, an overwhelming majority of very advanced age. Let's take this break. We'll get back. We'll take your calls today, folks. Are you as tired of all this as I am? Let's get back to the business of living and working. Let me go back to work.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Wasn't that the idea when we started out in school? That's what this is. The Constitution was about. Wasn't that the idea when we started out in school? That's what they said.
You know, Steve, I wonder if we put out a poll out there, left unchecked with these communists in the streets of America, in our state legislatures, in our own U.S. government political body, should we just sit back and relax? Everything's going to be okay. Yeah. Do you have him or not? No, you do not. And status? Okay. He had some problems with his computer. At any rate, if you can't get him to work on Virto, go to Skype, if you would. All right. In the meantime. So, this, we know the plan, ladies and gentlemen. We have seen their meetings. Why the globalist allowed so much information out is amazing to me. We have found what they're after, the device, the management program they're going to use. We have not varied from our story at the start of this. We saw what was coming out. We saw the claims. We start digging. Nothing has changed, folks. And without any effort, the information is coming to me personally of people that I know and they have firsthand experience, people that have died from drowning accidents, car accidents, motorcycle accidents that they're throwing on the COVID pile to bump up the numbers. You know, I'd really like to know the true number of people that actually died of the flu, but again, it's they told us it was an extraordinary, it was a special virus, it was particularly lethal. No, it was not. And coronavirus, ladies and gentlemen, has been around for generations. Go test a dog right now from Liberia that's not come in contact with any human beings in the last 6 months, and you're going to find coronavirus. It's out there. It's what the common cold is. So this crap has to stop. Finally, finally, the governor of Texas is starting to get some solid pushback. And I look for this guy. I made the statement last week that, you know, hey, give it 10 days and the governor of Texas is going to come around. Well, he's got about four days left. Whereas Austin, again, Democrat, communist-controlled. People down there are ready for lynch mobs for the town, the city council down there. They're tired of it. They're tired of it. All these Democrat-slash-communist-controlled enclaves in this country are pushing the coronavirus like somehow it's going to save their political careers. This is nuts. It's crazy. You got him? All right, let's hear you now. Go ahead,
testing,
Steve.
1, 2, 3. Am I back?
You're back.
Sounds good.
Well, I don't know. Okay, keep good, talking.
Good. a little disconnect here. I had a little issue going. It's my fault.
It's okay, fine, okie dokie now. All right. At any rate.
I had a senior moment.
Mm. Okay, no cracks about age. I know you're getting old. Self-deprecating humor doesn't help, especially if you forgot the joke that you told, you know, 2 minutes ago. At any rate, I was just finishing up on the phony COVID thing of which you covered on your show Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I'm hearing people that are claiming that, you know, I'm going to keep doing this. I'm being mandated and I'm being commanded. And until those orders change, I'm going to follow those orders.
Yeah.
Okay. I order you to go to San Francisco and jump off the San Francisco Bridge. Well, you wouldn't do that? Why wouldn't you do that? You know, I got through to some people when I used the analogy, Steve, that if the government come out tomorrow and said that, okay, you got to do the safe distancing, you got to do the hand washing, you absolutely must wear the mask. But here's the new deal. We think we can get over this and we can really flatten and eliminate it if everybody that goes outside walks on all fours, because what we've discovered is the barrier between the COVID and the earth, there's a 3-foot window there. And if you just walk on all fours and keep your head down below 3 feet, we can do away with this coronavirus next week.
Yeah.
You know, I was joking about that. But after seeing what these clowns, and I was the only guy, Steve, I was the only guy in Sam's Club yesterday. I use them. I don't like the box store idea, never have. But when I have to buy toilet paper and paper towels and things of large quantities for both myself and this office, I go to Sam's Club. I was the only one in that store with hundreds of people in there, including the employees, that was wearing a mask. And when I went up to the checkout counter, oh, well, sir, your membership has expired. It expired in April. I said, yeah, I didn't want to go out during the COVID-19 crisis, I said sarcastically. And I looked at the woman and I said, thank you for not saying anything about me not wearing a mask. She said, we can't make you anyhow. I felt like standing on the counter and yelling at the 199 other dummies in there and going, hey, listen up. All right. 800-313-9443. Phone calls have been light on this program. Everybody else is getting loaded up, but we're kind of light. Why is that?
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Whew. What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong part, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
All right, we're back. Let's go to the phones. Is this Rattlebone County? Colorado. Rattlebone, Colorado. Hello. Are you there? Rattlebone. Maybe he had to go to work. Well, is he still there? All right.
We're losing.
I guess so. I don't know. Thomas.
Let me make a comment real quick here before you get your next call here. Here we have the CDC make a confession this week. Make a confession on the real number of COVID deaths, John, attributed to COVID-19. And yet, the people still want to wear the mask. That's some serious brainwashing and control that is now ingrained in these people. They are forever touched on this situation here. They can't shake it. This is now a mental disorder, John.
I'm wondering how some people out there that were so convinced that the coronavirus was going to be the pandemic and kill millions, wonder how they're feeling right now. You made that statement to me that, well, since the weekend when the CDC sheepishly admitted to it, well, you know, it only looks like 9,000 deaths. How do you come back from something like that? that you have climbed into their dementia, you drank their Kool-Aid. Now, all of a sudden, that somehow that the next thing out of your mouth is not going to be under suspicion? I don't know. Thomas?
You know, John, over the weekend, I got a lot of nice emails from listeners, and one of them was great. It was a picture, and the caption said, "How is it possible for a dog to control a flock of sheep when the combined strength, even one sheep if they wanted to, but the combined strength of all this flock of sheep could certainly overwhelm the dog and kill the dog. How is it possible that a dog could actually control this flock of sheep?" And underneath that caption said, "By the use of fear."
It reads the fear of the sheep that just panic, they panic, the next one panics, exactly. And they're all running. Yeah,
and that's what we have going on today. And this CDC article should make a huge difference. Actually, what it should do, if it was carried by the mainstream media, what it should do is immediately open up the economy to saying you people were lied to, the economy is open, people go back to work. But it's not catching on right now. It's not catching on, and it should.
Well, the governor is ordering mandatory flu shots for all students under 30 in Boston in order to attend school. The vaccine that they're desperately, Steve, trying to roll out, untested, they're throwing caution to the wind. There's not going to be the testings for flu vaccines normally that you would have. This is so much of a pandemic that we've got to cut corners because more people are going to die. You know, I got to admit that I thought there was a tinge of conspiracy theory when I started hearing, they're going to shoot you up with a tattoo under your skin. And when something grabs my attention and I kind of look at it and go, okay, what I've learned to do is do more research, do more reading. And that's exactly what I've done. And Steve, you surprised me because you said the same thing. What is this vaccine going to do to us? They've come out already and say, well, it's just not going to be one vaccine. It's going to be multiple vaccines. Is it going to change our DNA? Is it going to make us susceptible to other diseases? Yep. This very well could be. I do not know. Before we get out of here today, though, I do want to play a five-minute clip from this Dr. Kaufman, that this thing has got millions of views, and I do believe he's 100% right. But first off, is Rattlebone back? Okay, Rattlebone's back. I guess you didn't run out to work. Go ahead, sir.
No, sir. Thank you very much, Herr Stadtmuller. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Thank you, Herr Stadtmuller.
Yeah? Can you get to your call, please? What's the purpose of your call?
Wow. 10 seconds? Okay. Can you just, you know, take some fucking use and...
Just cut him. Just cut him. And I did all that for that guy?
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you, Rattlehead. Thomas in San Francisco. Hello, Thomas.
Hi, John and Steve. I just wanted to reply to a caller from Mike Rivero's show that was dissing you two guys. But before I do that, I just want to do a shout-out to Ken, your engineer on the weekends. He's a stand-up guy. He really helped me out with giving me some audio engineering advice. But in any case, we had a caller that was in the Mike Rivero show that said, "Oh, well, John Stadtmuller and Steve Elkins was really, really mean to me and all that sort of stuff." And my reply is, well, you're calling into a program and they called you grumpy, which I like it. I like it when you're grumpy.
Me? It's, grumpy? It's kind of like, me? I think I'm rather civil after looking at the globalist and eating this crap for 30 years. I think I've been quite nice about it.
So I was grumpy also? I was grumpy also, huh?
Well, they didn't mention you. He didn't mention you as grumpy, but they... I think you call them off, but whatever. In any case, I guess you didn't let this person have their viewpoint, which is,
I give everybody a viewpoint, but if they start to go in a direction, they start to become rude or insulting, then I cut them. I cut them because I don't do that to other people. Now, somebody's going to say, oh, you're rude to me. It goes around. If you start to go rude on me, and I'm going to cut the call. And if that's being rude, then I guess I'm going to be rude.
Or somebody that drops the F-bomb on me, I'll cut them off in a New York second.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't actually know this person's particular call to you. I mean, like, but my thing is, newsflash, if you call someone's show, it's their show.
I'm in agreement. As a matter of fact, Thomas, when you called in and you started referring to Michael Rivero's show, Michael Rivero handles his show differently than what I do. He lets callers go on that I would limit their time, but that's his program, and he runs it the way he runs it. And I have never once told Michael Rivero, boo. I've never told him what to do, how to do it, what to talk about, what not to talk about. Michael Rivero's, he's a grown man, you know, and he can do his own program. That's the point.
Well, I have no problem with that.
Of having your own program, yeah.
I just called to defend you. Oh, I'm sorry. There's a second part of that. This guy that was complaining also was like going like, "Oh, you were mean to Vincent Benelli, and you were." I already know the whole situation, so you don't have to explain it.
Well,
to
and
me,
we pretty much
the audience, but
yeah, and Thomas, and look, my co-host today. If it were not for him, I wouldn't have known what was really going on behind the scenes, because when somebody says they're my friend, I take that at face value and I never doubt them. When I find out otherwise, and Thomas, let me just finish by saying, I think Steve and I have been pretty calm about this whole situation. I know I have. I've been restrained about it. It hurt me deeply. It really did. But again, that's life. You know, stuff happens, and then we move on.
Okay, I understand that. And before I go, just let me say one important thing. I like it that you cut his show, because when I listen to it, because I listen to RBN all day long and all night long, that is one of the most boring shows I've ever listened to. I mean, it's like, buy 100 pounds of beans. How about buy 100 pounds of salt? And then he has these guests that I can hardly hear. You know, some lady from Australia.
And Thomas, you know, the part about moving on, the show's no longer on the network. He's still on GCN. And that's the way it will be forever and ever. Amen. I appreciate your call, Thomas. Thank you. Dan Sutterfield. Yep. Hello, Dan.
Pleasure to hear you both.
How you doing?
I've got a couple of points, Dan. I wanted to bring up just to reinforce, not that it really needed it, everything you've said, something that I've noticed. I'm down here in the state of Missouri, and before I get into that, real quick, I wanted to thank everybody that helped us on all the fundraisers with the Frontside bonus, and to remind them, they should know by now, Frontside says they're going to open up September 1st. They can handle 2,000 people and train them adequately.
That's tomorrow.
Without anybody getting the short end of the stick.
Unless we're not across the international dateline, that's tomorrow.
Yeah, that's okay. What I'm saying. It's get on the phone and try to get your foot in the door and get some training before you really need it.
Dan.
Hey, Dan, I've got a question for you. John,
yes, sir.
If you don't mind, I've got a question for Dan. Hey, Dan, I just came across an article yesterday, and actually it's dated August 10th, and evidently it came out of from Dave Hodges and was it Mike Adams? Talking about a cache of weapons making it to the streets of major cities.
Yeah.
And Portland and Austin, I mentioned your area there, John, Austin.
Mm-hmm.
And that there would be violence in the streets. There was going to be a major outbreak of violence and guns, and before the election, and they think that was going to stop the actual the election itself. Did you hear any about that at all, or what do you put any credibility in this whole story, or
well,
not?
I'll tell you, I think anything you want to find to support your position, you can find it, and I'm not picking on you or anybody. I have been amazed at people that I have grown to love and respect in my family and friends too, and you look at them and you think, have you got a brain cell in your head, or am I being fed so much BS that I can't see the forest for the trees?
And Dan, let me just interject here. It wasn't just Mike Adams. It was a former host that was on this network. And I suspect somebody that's here in the Austin area, which I've had the displeasure of running across, that I just discovered not too long ago that he actually works with the feds. And I was being pumped for the very same information. Hey, have you heard this? You got your ear to the ground. And I'm going, why should I be talking to somebody that is in there working with the feds? So I smell something very bad at the core of all of this. Very bad.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds like an incredible false flag coming, maybe.
Well, and you know what? Here's the problem. It's plausible.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, what did we hear? We heard there's an asteroid that's going to pass the Earth on election day, and it's 6.5 miles wide. The good news is it's going to be 200 miles from Earth's orbit. Well, it turns out that the damn thing is about 6.5 foot wide, and I don't think that if it hit the atmosphere, it would even survive the atmosphere. So is it plausible? Yeah. Is it truth? Well, we'll know when the day passes, okay?
That's but the only way you'll know.
Yeah, but I highly suspect. Yeah. And by the way, anybody in Austin, do you have a bolt I can convert an AK-47? Because, you know, this semi-automatic stuff. You know, I've got a 90-round drum for that, and it just doesn't make sense to have a 90-round drum and have to pull the trigger individually. Can I have one of those automatic changeover things?
It'll be a lot more accurate on semi, John.
Well, yeah, this is just tongue-in-cheek, Dan.
Okay, gotcha.
All right, my friend. By the way, just for the heck of it, if somebody wanted to talk to you possibly about maybe getting into Front Sight, do you have a phone number?
Sure.
What's your number?
573-465-2356. I'd be glad to discuss it with them anytime, night or day.
All right.
From anywhere on the planet.
And then beyond. All right, Dan.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I got a few other points I wanted to
help. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Throw in, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Okay. I was over on in a little town about 8 miles from here. It's a university town, and Missouri State University, and they've got 6,000 to 8,000 students, and they're all back on campus now.
Mm-hmm.
And John, I was just flabbergasted. Blocks from the campus. They walk in from all different directions, from the different little housing groups, because evidently a lot of them obviously don't have cars. John, in the bright, sunlit day, comfortable day, it was like 78 degrees, all had masks on. And they weren't necessarily clumped together. Individuals walking the street, carrying their backpack.
I know.
They all had masks on walking to class.
I know.
And on campus, that one day, I was in and around campus, went into the library a couple of times to take care of some stuff, and I probably saw 500 to 800 students, just round numbers, all had masks on. I'll put it this way. I figured 98% of them had masks on. I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it. And
Dave, it's kind of turning into a fashion statement now too. Have you noticed the different kinds of masks? Not only just a mask, but we're talking about stylish here.
Oh
now.
Yeah,
looking cool.
Yeah, and what bothers me about this, guys, is the social distancing, the locking down in your own house, self quarantining, and then walking around in public like you're some kind of criminal. And the only thing you can see of people are their eyes. You know, I don't know whether I'm going to be robbed or I'm going to be ridiculed because I didn't wear a mask. By the way, When I was in Sam's Club the other day, not one person singled me out. Nobody said, "Oh, you're not wearing a mask. You're endangering me." People were looking at me. They noticed something was different when they'd look in my direction, and then I'd see them do a double take. And then they'd look at me, and then they'd realize, uh-oh, this one doesn't have a mask on. But it didn't stop. If I stopped to converse with somebody, and, you know, I'm one of these people to get out in public, and, you know, I'm kind of friendly. I'm not to curmudgeon all the time. And I engage people in conversation, or if there's something to comment on of common interest between the both of us that's obvious, I'll make the comment. But not one person backed up and went, oh, this one doesn't have a mask on. No, they were acting like normal people. It was almost like they weren't wearing a mask, which is unto itself kind of ironic.
People tend to be a little more polite in the southern states, I think.
Well, I came to Texas for a reason. At any rate, anything else, Dan?
Yeah, a couple other things. Well, one other thing at least.
Yeah.
I had the opportunity to go into our local county hospital two or three times in the last month. I wasn't sick particularly, but my wife had some appointments, and I'd take her in. And I noticed, and I asked them about this, I noticed there's no hazardous waste disposal receptacles for masks and gloves. No specific sign like, put your used mask here, or
your torn glove
here.
Yeah.
And I asked them about that, and they just kind of looked around and went, I said, if it's so virulent, isn't that the word virulent?
Yeah.
So nasty, so virulent, easy virulent. to get contaminated with this stuff. You think they'd have to take those masks off and dispose of them properly?
Dan. There's a hazmat team that takes care of all that stuff in the hospital. We have these big red bins. They're sharp containers.
For sure.
And they're actually destroyed a certain way. And any kind of soiled bacterial type, on the gowns or mask, all go in that container, and they bag it, and they end up incinerating it. So you're right. Nobody's addressed this at all. I see them in the parking lot, lying on the ground in the gutter. You actually need to hire a team if you actually seriously believe this garbage they're telling us that these masks are soaked with respiratory droplets. Well, then they are truly hazardous material, but they're not. That's the point. See, that's the inconsistency of their little scam here is that they don't follow up and they don't treat it as hazmat material.
Okay.
That's how you know it's a scam.
Guys, I got to keep moving because I got loaded phones here.
Thank you so much, John.
Okay, Dan, thanks, Dan. Appreciate the call. And give Dan a call. I'm just going to put a little tease out there that might have been a few people that put their name in the hat for the front site that position still may be available, the 2-for-1. Uh-oh, 573-465-2356. If you think all this stuff is going to go away, folks, that's fine. Get down with your wife, your girlfriend, or by yourself to the range. Go plink a couple of cartridges and tell yourself you're proficient with a firearm. Let me give you the Rittenhouse scenario. He wasn't very well trained, but he did survive. But imagine a scenario, ladies and gentlemen, where you got trained people. And Steve, the thing that's really bugging me here is there's going to be some people in some areas of the country where they're going to go full COVID with their track and trace. And God, please don't send anybody out to my house. Please. Let me go to, is this M in Illinois? Hello, M.
Thank you for taking my call. I want to go back to the demonstration in Germany, in England, in Poland, in Argentina. Germany came out today with good news. They actually broadcasted the swine flu and how bad it was. And the Dr. Wolfgang Woodard came out and told them not to take the shot.
I'm sorry, ma'am, not to take, excuse me. You've got a really thick accent, and it's real hard to track and follow what you're saying. Well, repeat your last statement, ma'am.
Okay. The demonstration in Germany had a good come out. German station from Nuremberg.
Okay, this is not... Ma'am, I'm sorry, I'm sorry? Demonstrations, okay, all right. I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time understanding you. Are you on a speakerphone, ma'am? Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, get off the speaker. Get off the speakerphone. Let's try that.
Okay.
Go ahead.
A German station from Nuremberg had a broadcast at least 10 minutes long. They admitted not to take the shot. And I was wondering if you can find that station over there or at least show the demonstration from all the countries who said no more masks and no more locking.
I have been posting that.
I can kind of address.
Go ahead, Steve, please.
Yeah, over the weekend, David Icke did a demonstration, huge demonstration at Trafalgar Square in London, and that was very successful. They figured it out in London. The Brits have figured it out, the scam, and the whole 6 foot social distancing and the mask. They figured out the scam, and David Icke is awesome, a great lecture. You can actually see that on YouTube. I believe it's still there. And it's about a little over an hour presentation. Now, in Berlin, Germany, I can't tell you how big the rally was there. But they've had enough of it, too. And they're actually in the streets. They're willing to go, I think, 5 days out for their demonstration, their rally. They've had enough of COVID-19 also. They want to go back to work. They want this nonsense to stop. But they're asking for a little bit more than that. They actually want government officials to resign. They are that fed up with these people that fooled them with this COVID-19 nonsense, this scamdemic, that they want people to resign. And they're willing to ride it out for at least 5 days or more.
All right. I apologize for the communications. Next time you call in, do not use the speakerphone. Always use the handset. It translates much, much better. And I appreciate your call. As a matter of fact, Steve, I have been running the stories on the network that from France and Germany and England, that in fact, these people are figuring it out just as we are here in this country. And folks, you're not in England. You're not in Germany. You are here in America, but imagine what the news media has been doing here. They're doing the very same thing over there. But they seem to have snapped out of their stupor. And we are as well. We got a bigger population, and I think Germany and England put together, don't we? Don't we, Mike? And then some, maybe France? Yeah. Yeah. All right. Second hour coming up. Andy Stewart, John, Gary, and others. Just stay in queue. We'll get to your calls right at the top of the hour. I do want to get into Kaufman's six-minute presentation about the many false positives coming from the coronavirus test. Yes, we're detecting coronavirus. Yeah, dogs in Siberia have it. All right. Steve Elkins down in Florida. John Stepmiller here in Central Texas, which we've had 35-plus days of 100-plus degree temperatures. Yeah, it's the coronavirus. It's going to kill us all here in Texas. We'll break. We'll be back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.